Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The earthly deity in the form of a cow thus replied to the personality of religious principles in the form of a bull. O Dharma, whatever you have inquired from me shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions. Once you too were maintained by your four legs, and you increase happiness all over the universe by the mercy of the Lord. Purport. The principles of religion are laid down by the Lord Himself, and the executor of such laws is Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. Such principles work fully in the age of Satyayuga. In the Treta Yuga, they are reduced by a fraction of 1/4. In the Dwapara Yuga, they are reduced to 1/2. And in the Kali Yuga, they are reduced to 1/4, gradually diminishing to the zero point, and then devastation takes place. Happiness in the world depends proportionally on the maintenance of the religious principles, individually or collectively. The best part of valor is to maintain the principles despite all kinds of odds. Thus, one can be happy during the span of life and ultimately return to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamimiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna everyone. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak. Recently I was reading, going through Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and there's one very interesting conversation taking place. It's basically these smart brahmanas from India, specifically from Bengali district, they've been chastising Haridas Thakur. And they had a discussion where Haridas Thakur tried to kind of establish the supremacy of the holy name. And based on the smarta brahmanas, they've been using a variety of Vedic texts, Smriti Shastra, just to establish that actually these principles of Dharma are superior to the chanting of the Hare Krishna. And this is what they said. This is quite interesting because it very much, I feel that slightly somehow I'm in that position. So this is what the Brahmana said to the argument of Haridas Thakur. It is stated that Shudras will explain the Vedas at the end of Kali Yuga. But why only at the end of the age? We can see it happening even now. So because Haridas Thakur was born in the Yavana family, he was considered to be low caste, low born. And especially, who was this? There was a big personality, Ramachandra Khan, and he was trying to rebuke this growing personality, Haridas Thakur. He was just on the edge of his village chanting holy name, and people started having a lot of inclination towards serving Haridas Thakur. And Ramachandra Khan couldn't really kind of grasp this because he wanted to be the popular one, the one who's liked by everyone. So it just shows that, and as is mentioned in the purport by Prabhupada, we're going to be kind of diving into how the religious principles or dharma can be one way or another subordinate to the higher religious principles, and that is the Yuga Dharma, or chanting of the holy name. So the few points which we kind of observed in this purport, if you look at the first sentence, I'm going to repeat it. The principles of religion are laid down by the Lord Himself. And the executor of such laws is Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. So first, in the first sentence, there are 3 points which I examined. First one, there's the lawmaker, right? The supreme personality of Godhead. He's the one who established the law. Then the point number two is the law itself, or Dharma. And the point number three, who's that personality? I heard in here somewhere. Executor of the law. So today we're going to be speaking about the lawmaker, the law itself, and the one who executes the law, or under which jurisdiction the law is kind of maintained. So the lawmaker, I think it's quite obvious to all of us. It's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the question maybe arose, why actually the law was established in the universe, or why there was a need for law in the first place. So if you think about it, the material universe is a result actually of misdeeds of the fallen conditioned souls, right? It's that there's no need actually for material universe. Why this is so? Because if the Jivatma wouldn't fall down in the first place, there's no need for matter, for kind of a material creation. But when Krishna saw that, yes, this is happening, the Jivas, they have this propensity to wander away from their original position. That's why Krishna maintained and created this material universe. And if there will be no law given by the lawmaker, what happens? There's no chance for the Jivas to come back. Because actually Dharma or law, Prabhupada describes it in a very interesting way. Prabhupada translates Dharma as, does anyone know? There are many translations, but one prominent which Prabhupada used, does anyone know? We will go to that, just Dharma in itself. Dharma. Occupation. Religious principles. Prabhupada many times refers to Dharma as religion. But then, in many different connotations, Prabhupada is saying that actually religion is based on faith. And faith is flickery. One day you may be Christian with Christian faith. Next day you can have Muhammadan faith. Next day you can have Buddhist faith. Day afterwards, you can have many different types of faiths. But then, the original translation is occupational duty. And you can see that how Dharma could be actually applied based on your consciousness. Where is your consciousness? That's your occupational duty. If you think that this material body is who I am, then yes, your occupational duty will be like this. If you think about yourself as a spirit soul, then your occupational duty will be different. So based on the different stages and levels of your consciousness, that's what reflects your occupational duty. So Krishna is the lawmaker and he created the law. I think that's quite straightforward. So there we have many different types of Dharma. And I've done there's, for instance, Bhoga Dharma versus Tyaga Dharma. We know that Bhoga means enjoyment, right? Every day we offer many different types of preparations to the Lord, Bhoga, right? We don't offer prasadam to the Lord, we offer Bhoga. Bhoga means enjoyment. So this enjoyment dharma is a dharma of personalities in the age of Kali. So if you look at what is the goal of your occupation, if the goal of your occupation is to constantly enjoy, then you will adjust your consciousness, your activities, and all your paraphernalia in your life to achieve that bhoga, to achieve that enjoyment. And what will happen? You will have mentality of an enjoyer. So one of the practical things which I always do is whenever I walk next to the deity kitchen, there are many different smells coming out, right? Many different spices. Sometimes, all these wonderful preparations are cooked for Krishna. But if you have this bhoga dharma mentality, what happened? You will stop there and you will just do like, oh, what a smell, what a wonderful smell, all these wonderful spices, perfect. No, this is not what we're aiming for. Right in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that A true yogi is like someone who can withdraw his senses, just like a tortoise can withdraw all these limbs within the body. So a true yogi, or true someone who meditates on the Lord, he can withdraw the senses. Therefore, he's not a bhogi. He's not a bhogi yogi. So another type of dharma is something that we call tyaga. Does anyone know what Sanskrit term tyaga means? Who's a tyagi? Renunciation, austerities. David, probably you had your hands up. Renunciation, yes. So the tyagis are completely opposite to the bhogis. Tyaga means that I will reject everything, right? Any different type of enjoyment, I will just reject, because it indulges my senses into just being more and more focused on these material paraphernalias. It shows that I just want to have that cupcake, you know, I want to have this, I want to have a good bed, I want to have good furniture in my house, I want to have good house, good car, all of these. So tyagis, they completely kind of cut themselves from all these different types of enjoyments. But Srila Prabhupada comments that actually even this mentality is a wrong mentality. Because if you are a tyagi, and let's say if a tyagi offers something to the Supreme Lord, he probably just offers something very, very, very simple. Like maybe like one piece of roti or one piece of chapati. If his consciousness is not on the level of the six Goswamis, let's say. So the tyagi will offer to the Lord literally just bare minimum. So even this is not a good consciousness. Why? Because your tyaga may kind of create your hard-hearted, makes you really, really renounced, and there's no enjoyment in your life. And without no enjoyment, because the soul is naturally pleasure-seeking, right? So what we try to actually achieve is to dovetail your pleasure-seeking mentality to service of the Lord. So not renunciation, not complete bhoga mentality, enjoyment mentality, but something in the middle. Finding the best facilities, the best preparations, the best marble, the best paraphernalia, the best altar, the best ghee, the best yogurt, the best milk, the best spices, the best vegetables, the best dress, the best jewels, everything the best. For who? Not for you, but for Krishna. But at the same time, what happens is if there's only bhoga and if there's only tyaga, you're not going to leave any space for bhakti. So it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that a person who only renounces, only based on renunciation, is actually foolish. Prabhupada said, give me $1 million in the morning and in the evening I'll be beggar again. So what does this mean? It means whatever you receive, you don't feel attached to those possessions, but rather you feel everything belongs to Krishna. So actually devotees or bhaktas are not bogis and are not tyagis. They are not renunciates. Yet they may possess millions of pounds. They may possess big temples, fancy cars and all these things, but they're actually true renunciates. Because for devotees, what is there to renounce anyway? What can you renounce? What is that you can actually renounce? Right? Roberto, does this shawl, does it actually belong to you? Rasaraj, does this body actually belong to you? Nothing belongs to us. So for a bhakta, the question of renunciation doesn't actually exist. Because with the right consciousness, you actually understand that there is nothing which is truly mine. Right? You come into this world with bare minimum, nothing, and you leave with nothing. So that small lifespan of, 50, 60, 70 years, you have only something in your possession for a while. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornita ki, Yashoda Damodar ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So let's say if we've been in a mentality of renunciates, how can we facilitate such wonderful dresses and garlands and jewelry for the lordships? So the real goal is bhakti. And if you follow the path of bhakti, You understand that Boga is for the Lord and Tyaga actually doesn't exist. So another type of dharma is Bhagavad Dharma versus Varnashram Dharma. And these, there are similar different kind of a terminology through connected with the dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma refers to the duties of the spirit soul. And Varnashram Dharma refers to the duties of a conditioned soul. So when Prabhupada was emphasizing Varnashram Dharma, question could be asked, was Prabhupada emphasizing the dharma of a conditioned souls? Was Prabhupada emphasizing something which holds you in the material world? Yes? No? Varnashram Dharma is a ladder. Varnashram Dharma is a system. Varnashram Dharma, the end of Varnashram Dharma is to reject Varnashram Dharma. But through all those varnas and all those ashramas, the injection of Bhagavad Dharma is always present there. Always present there. From brahmachari to sannyasi, from brahmana to shudra, all of these are facilitated for the Varnashram Dharma to be, the Bhagavad Dharma to be injected in a very natural way. Religion in its fullest sense means acting properly both on the spiritual and material platform. To understand that dharma has a dual nature is easier than to understand the religion has two features, spiritual and material. So, dual nature. What does this mean to have something had dual nature? It means that you understand, yes, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, I'm a vanaprastha. Yes, I'm a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. So there's one type of nature, right? But there's all my seemingly visible varnashram is actually supported by Bhagavad Dharma. So the conclusion is why I'm doing what I'm doing. You constantly have to ask yourself question, why? Why I'm doing what I'm doing? Why I'm following these principles of brahmacharya? Why I'm following the shelter of instructions of grihastha ashram? What's the end of this? Because what happens in life is that you just keep going for such a long time that you forget what do you want to achieve. You just study, study, study for the sake of studying. You just renounce, 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 renounce for the sake of renouncing. You all do all these activities for the sake of the activity. But in the end of all of your activity, you have to ask yourself, why I'm doing it? What's the end game? What do I want to achieve? So through all the principles of Varnashram, there's injection of Bhagavad Dharma, which says that this is actually the end. Another type of Dharma, which is similar, the same actually, is Svadharma versus Sanatan Dharma. Many times when I'm on book distribution, Sanatan Dharma, I try to explain that this is actually not a religion. This is path of Sanatan Dharma. It's like, okay, what is Sanatan? Sanatan means eternal, and Dharma means occupation. So it means your eternal occupation. Why is something eternal? We can see that in the present age, in the age of Kali Yuga, everything, the constant thing which is always present in this material world is a change. So if you introduce something which is eternal, everlasting, always pervading, which goes like a needle and a thread through all those activities which you perform, that's something which actually people are, what they're hankering for. That people are hankering for stability. They don't hanker for constant changes. Like, death is a change. You can ask anyone, do you want to actually die? If they're not a bit of cuckoo or psycho, they don't. Everyone wants to live forever, right? And as I introduced in previous classes, because we want to live forever, that's the nature of the soul. So Sanatan Dharma introduces that eternity. Sanatan Dharma gives you something which is not only a vision, which is not only an idea, it is a reality. But again, it requires practice. Sanatan Dharma is not something which is cheap. But that Svadharma is based on what I'm doing, where I am, what's my guna, what's my karma, what's my consciousness, which body do I have? All these are coming under the category of Svadharma. So, in Nectar of Devotion, in the Eastern Division, is mentioned in the Eastern Division part, Sri Narada addressing Srila Vyasadeva. When has an evil fallen on one who has taken shelter in the practice of devotion to the Lord's lotus feet, even though he might have renounced his own Swadharma and might also have lapsed from the way of bhakti before attaining ripeness in the practice of bhakti? And when, again, has any benefit accrued to one who has stayed in his own sphere of Swadharma and is not taken to the practice of devotion to the Lord? So this means if one constantly and rigidly follows his Swadharma with no means to an end that actually have to be devotee rather than a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, then he wastes his time. But if one takes to the practice of Bhagavad Dharma or Bhakti Dharma and rejecting his Swadharma, Narada Muni emphasized to Vyasadev that there's no loss in this. There's one verse in Bhagavatam which I like to repeat quite often actually. Dharma svanustita pumsham visvakshena katasuya notpayadyatin ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Listen to this again carefully, carefully. The occupational activities, dharma svanustita pumsham, a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor. So here it is said in the Bhagavatam, the dharma is so much useless labor, it doesn't provoke attraction to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you need to ask yourself, whatever position you're now, if it doesn't truly attract you to the message of Krishna, then it's useless. It's useless. So in the end of the day, if your activity doesn't remind you Krishna, question yourself. If the end of the day, if you practice something and doesn't invoke presence of Krishna in your mind, in your heart, then it's useless. If the end of the day, you perform so many austerities, right? You know, we have Ekadashis, we have different types of options to renounce or to be kind of aloof. If the end of the day, if you don't think about Krishna, then you should give it up. Another verse. Paradharma versus Aparadharma. And I hope I get this meter right. This is Bhagavatam 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Very, very famous one. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam traptapatrayan mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune kritikimva parar ishvara sadyo hridya varudyate trakritibi shushru shubitakshanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth, this is the sentence, this is the real deal. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Please remember this. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. This is how Bhagavatam is powerful. And again, the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries, Adidevika, Adiatmika, Adibhautika. This beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasadev, brackets, in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is there need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord established within the heart. This is so powerful. It is said that actually Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest of all the dharmas. Right? You have Manu Samhita. Right? Manu Samhita speaks about everything, all the laws. If you can absorb the Manu Samhita, you're a genius. If you know how to act every single day on the basis of Manu Samhita, I salute to you. But here, in one single verse, it's established the supremacy of Bhagavad Dharma. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Distinguish for the welfare of everyone. The highest reality, the highest truth is this Bhagavad Dharma. And what is the highest in this age of Kali? Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Constantly hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I want to give just one pastime, which is from the Bhoga versus Tyaga principle. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the house of Shivas Pandit, right? When they've been performing these kirtans, there was one Brahman. He was very pious, very intelligent, very sweet. Everyone loved him. He knew the Vedas inside out. And he was drinking one cup of milk every day. And what happened is, he became proud of this. He became very, very proud that I'm actually very renounced. I drink only one cup of milk. Therefore, I'm eligible to see the dancing and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You know what? He kind of managed to find his way into the house. And when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy, what happens? Like, there's something wrong in here. There's something not really right. I don't feel it. It's not really there. There's no oomph. So there is someone here who should not be here. Then he found this Brahmana and he kicked him out and said, you are puffed up. You think that by your renunciation you can purchase me. You think by you drinking one cup of milk, that what attracts me? You think that your tyaga, your renunciation, is what really, really I want from people? I mean, if you look at the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole pastimes are based on prasadam. How opulent Lord Chaitanya always takes prasadam. Constantly, every single chapter is connected to honoring prasadam. So, no, trust me, excuse me, tyaga is not what attracts Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of the Lord. But then, to give a sweet end to this pastime, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kicked out this Brahmana, the Brahmana was completely, he collapsed. He was like, I saw the Supreme Lord dancing. I saw the ecstasy. I saw his tears. I cannot go back. I reject that one cup of milk. I reject whatever I can reject. I reject my life if I cannot see the Lord. And then they went to Lord Chaitanya. He said, after 1 million of lives? It was a different pastime, right? He said, what was the pastime? Do you remember Srinivas Prabhu with the Brahmana? Can I have the mic for Srinivas Prabhu? How was it that?
I think Radhanath Maharaj explains the pastime in a different way from what you said. Radhanath Maharaj explains that this Brahmachari, he was begging Shivas Thakur to enter the house to see this dancing. And he approached in a humble way. Now, if he approached in a proud way, look, I'm a Brahmachari, I'm doing this austerity. Shivas Thakur, being a topmost Vaishnava, he would have just rejected him. But the fact that he was bringing in humility, Shivas Thakur was, he allowed him to enter. Mm. Then when he was in the house, he was hiding somewhere. Lord Chaitanya was doing the kirtan, then he said, there's something wrong here. Then he asked the devotees, is there anyone here who shouldn't be here? And Shivas Thakur said, there's Brahmachari here. He only drinks one cup of milk. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, kick him out. But when he was leaving, Lord Chaitanya called him back because he had some Mayavadi tendencies. And Lord Chaitanya corrected him. He said, you shouldn't be proud of your austerities. You should be humble. Mm. Then he said, now you can enter.
So that humility was a ticket back to go to and see the kirtans again. Yeah. So there one last point. Thank you for narrating that. The one last point which I wanted to make, I don't know how much time we do have, but as I mentioned, there was the law, the lawmaker, and the executor of law, which was Yamaraj. So just a few points. As we know, Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans. He's son of Surya. He's a very great devotee of Krishna. He appeared 5,000 years ago as Vidura. And to actually truly see and to judge others, you have to be really, really intelligent. So Yamaraj is also called as Dharmaraj, which is mentioned in this connection. So this Dharmaraj, he knows what's good, what's bad, and all those intricacies of how we actually, things which we may get perplexed, the angles which we don't see, Dharmaraj or Yamaraj actually sees them. And the Srila Prabhupada in his in the class is actually saying that, if you look at this Vyasa-san, right, this Vyasa-san has four legs. So what happens is, Prabhupada gives this connection that the moment you start taking off the legs, the balance of the Vyasa-san or the chair or any type of furniture is start collapsing. So this analogy indicates that same thing as the yugas are progressing until in the age of Kali, there's literally just one leg. And even in the end of the yuga, even that one leg will be completely reduced. So it means there will be no balance, there will be no stability, and ultimately there will be no dharma. And when there is no dharma, that means there's just only irreligious practices. And these irreligious practices will take you only to one place, only to one destination. That is hell. So, and then Prabhupada says a very interesting thing. The best part of valor is to maintain the principles despite all kinds of odds. So we can see that you can maintain your morality, but until you come to a point of really, really making big decisions, then your morality will be tested. So at that moment, in that test, when it comes, just stick to the bhakti mark, stick to the regulative principles, and in this way you actually be saved. And because you glorify through all your life dharma and bhakti dharma, in the end of your life, this dharma will save you. So I'll finish here. 2 minutes pass, half. So if there are any points, any questions, anything you wish to share with us, please do.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Prabhu. One question. Doing so many austerities, it can lead to pride. There's many austerities we can also do in Krishna consciousness, as we're learning. And how to stay humble amidst so many austerities. Is there a practical application for us?
You can see that Krishna says, I'm the ability of man. So whatever you can perform, whatever intelligence you have, whatever austerities you can perform, is coming from Krishna. The highest Krishna is the greatest renunciate. He's got all these opulence, but in one moment he can reject it. So you can just connect all your renunciation to Krishna. And ultimately you're not going to get humble if you're using that, because what does renunciation do? It gives you time. Yeah, right? You don't take prashadam, so you have much more time. There's not energy goes into a stomach, so you have much more time. So what are you going to do with that time? Excuse me. And what are you going to do with that renunciation, with the time which renunciation gave you? You can read Bhagavatam. You can do some extra service. You can chant some extra rounds. So you renounce, but at the same time you accept. So that's the process. And you never can get pride out of, you know, reading Bhagavatam or do extra rounds. So that's the one point. Well, Nana, you do service, so maybe if you want to go.
Thank you for your class. It was actually just in response to Prabhu's question. I was reading this in Bhagavatam, which was quite interesting. So in the second canto, 9th chapter, 33 to 36, that's the Chaturshloki for Bhagavatam. And text 37, Vishnu tells Lord Brahma, "Oh Brahma, just follow this conclusion. By fixed concentration of the mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation." And what's the Chaturshloki is, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before, so knowing that the Lord is ever existing. Whatever appears to be connected to the Lord is real, everything else is illusion. That he's in everything and that nothing is in him. And a person who's searching for this as the ultimate goal of their life is actually doing the right thing. So if we do that with determination, then no pride can come in. That's what the Lord says.
Thank you. Roberto, Prabhu.
Yeah, Kiriyan, even from the service, getting out to share us knowledge.
From one service to another.
Thank you, Antaranga, very much for this point. So if I so just one point and then question. So you said, okay, what am I doing? Austerity, is this helping me to be more conscious of Krishna? If it's not, then, you know, just like reach it out.
So reject it.
Reject it, okay. So this is like a good point I will try to reflect on. And the other one was saying about Vanashva Dharma, and Srila Prabhupada did say that like half of his job was not finished by establishing Vanashva Dharma, but I have a question for who is then this Vanashva Dharma? Is it more for the current devotees, for devotees that are struggling, or maybe for people in general? We like to people in general to kind of make a system where people in general can join and then little by little start to imbibe this Sanatana Dharma. So how do you see this point?
Varnashram Dharma means that there is a tinge of gunas, goodness, passion, and ignorance is present. So. And since it's not fully, we haven't fully reject all those impurities of the three gunas, which means that still there is something, some guna, either sattva, rajas, or tamas, is still something within us. So varnashram dharma means that these three gunas, they represent the varnashram system. So if there is some material modes within us, until that point, we have to be engaged in varnashram system. Until the point when the gunas are gone, that we can say that we are free from the three modes of material nature. So question is, am I free from the three gunas? No. Are you free? I don't know. Until that point, we have to be engaged in the Varnashram system. But ultimately, as is mentioned in this verse, that we should always be striving to the Bhagavad Dharma, that yes, we practice Varnashram, occupational duties, but we're aiming for the highest.
So it's actually meant for devotees? So we easily to practice spiritual life and then, as you say, reject the it's a really nice point.
It's a ladder. It's a ladder. It's a tool to get to the highest.
And do you think it's also, it's like for the common people as well, that Srila Prabhupada wanted, that common people also follow?
What do you think?
So like maybe, you know, this system not be only for devotees, but for general people as well. That Srila Prabhupada had this idea.
What do you think? You can just say yes.
I would say yeah.
Yes, yes, that's the answer.
I would say yes.
Srinivas Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada said the Varnashram doesn't apply to devotees who are practicing a morning program. It is for those who cannot come for the morning program, is to bring them to that point of coming to the morning program.
Interesting.
Because what we do in the morning program is the five angas of bhakti, which is the main part of the 64 angas. And this will bring us to the line of pure devotional service very fast. Mm. Those who cannot do this, then they have to do Varnashram to the point where they can practice what we are doing.
That's a nice statement, nice point. Okay, thank you so much. Any other points, any other comments? Okay, Amala Purana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shla Prabhupada Ki Jai.